Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, we visit with Renee Carrico, Commodity Division Director with Kentucky Farm Bureau. And as always, we'll wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show. Well, hello, everybody.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
How's Dave and Vicky today?
Doing good.
Any different than you've been the last four times I've asked you today?
No, not really.
Nobody has told me yet any different.
That's right.
We're in Louisville, Kentucky at the Kentucky Farm Bureau State Office, and we've had a good day today. We've recorded several shows that we're going to run out over the next few weeks, and I think folks really appreciate some of the things we put together today. A lot of great information, a lot of solid conversations held.
Definitely. I think so, and I think today I don't know how this one's going to go, but the other three have been really good. we'll see how it goes, but we've had some really good conversations and got some new information rolling out from Kentucky Farm Bureau, some member services that I think will be really good for our members and for people in agriculture in general, to be honest with you. And I'll go on and preface, and I've said it on every show that we've had so far, that Farm Bureau Insurance and Farm Bureau Federation are two different things, and you don't have to have Farm Bureau Insurance to be a Farm Bureau member. And we would encourage you to be a Farm Bureau member because they do a lot to advocate for agriculture, and that's kind of what our show's all about. Mm-hmm. And, they do a fantastic job with that. So, I will go on and say that right up on the front.
And we have talked before about possibly doing some series on the podcast, and this is kind of our first series, if you will, with this group where we're talking with the commodity specialist and the commodities director, and going to be rolling out that series over the next few weeks and months. That's it, right? So hopefully you'll enjoy that and be able to learn more about Kentucky Farm Bureau and the Federation side and what they have to offer and some things that you might want to participate in. Learn more about resources and get involved in. So,
absolutely. Several of the shows that we've done, as Vicky mentioned, have been with the different commodity specialists with Kentucky Farm Bureau. And today, our last recording of the day is going to actually be with commodity division director for Kentucky Farm Bureau, Ms. Renee Carrico. However, I will admit, and David did the same thing. When we got here, we had to fill out the paperwork. We're saying who we're visiting, but both of us wrote Renee Laurent.
They did. I went last, and I go up there to write mine, and I looked up there, and I just shook my head, and I wrote your current name.
Like my husband does appreciate that.
And then I turned around, and I said, both of y'all put Laurent.
If I had a quarter for every time somebody had introduced me, booked a hotel room, David Ferquin, at the North American, all these things in my maiden name, thank the Lord I kept my maiden name as my middle name on my ID because it has helped me a lot for these people that can't.
It's a good plan.
They can't catch on to Carrico very quick.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I typed it in on my show notes or I would not have said it. Glad to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. This is such a cool, like, full circle moment. I feel like I grew up with all three of you as ag agents in neighboring counties, and it's so neat. It's been fun watching this podcast kind of grow and then getting a chance to be on it. I've been gigging a couple of you about it, just joking around, and then when this all fell together, it was just really neat.
Well, I'll be the first one to thank you for it all falling together. You've done a lot of work to put this together and put together all these specialists and get these appointments made for us, and they have all been wonderful, bringing notes. They have set a standard that every guest now is going to have to follow. bringing us bios, bringing us notes.
Yeah.
Something, it's really nice to have somebody on the other side to do all this prep work for us, because it's usually us, and you can imagine how that goes.
Well, we've got a great building and a great team, and if you guys, we know nobody wants to drive into Louisville, and I know y'all hit some of the traffic on the way, and if you'll get here, we want to make it as easy as possible. That's kind of the goal. The easier we make it, the more people want to come and interact, and that's the whole goal. So,
right. Well, we appreciate it, and And we, as Jay said, we certainly enjoy the hospitality because and appreciate it because it has just been perfect, really.
This may be the swankiest place we've ever been.
It's pretty fancy.
Yeah. You know, people have said nice things, but swanky may be my new favorite.
That's exactly what he said when we walked in here. Yeah. Before we ever set any equipment up, that's what he said.
Different digs than we're used to. And
absolutely.
We've got some pretty nice extension offices across the state, but they're not all created equal. And
that's true.
To come into a place that's as nice as this, we really enjoy it. We appreciate it.
Well, good. Yep. We're glad to have y'all here.
Yep.
So, you know, start off, we do know you, but everybody else doesn't. Tell a little bit about yourself. Tell a little bit about your background. Maybe, you know, your story of how you came to be involved in agriculture and a little bit about your family life.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Princeton, Kentucky. The Laurent probably gave that away with the research center. I grew up with really, I would say, no choice but to get into ag. I've got two parents that work at the research center. My dad's a beef specialist over there and actually came here working with hogs. And then my mom does the coordinating for the grain crops. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty well indoctrinated. My first job that wasn't farm work was the plant disease lab with Mr. Paul Batchy. So,
yep. One of the best.
Fantastic. Yeah. And so I kind of grew up, the UK Research Center was my family. And so I tell people when I introduce myself, I'm a little extension baby, but that's real. I mean, my parents are from Louisiana. We don't have extended family here. I trick-or-treated those halls. I mean, that was our family up here. So, yeah, growing up in Princeton, I laugh. My husband says he doesn't know how long it'll take. I've lived on Eastern time, I think, 7 years, and every time basketball season comes around, I go, God, these times are so late. And he goes, honey, you've lived on this time a long time. You got to get over it. So West Kentucky's near to me. But I grew up in Princeton, went to UK, did ag, econ, and animal science there. And my first job, ironically, a lot of people know us as livestock people for the most part. My first job was with Dow AgriSciences, selling cottonseed and launching the Enlist program, that weed control system in the Mid-South. So pretty lofty task. I can say I had to start off pretty dang humble because I didn't know a lot about it. And did that for a few years, ran a territory down there, and then came back and worked at the Office of Ag Policy. Warren Beeler, he takes credit for getting me back. But now D.D. Beeler gets the credit because Warren wouldn't go offer me a job. He said he couldn't help but, what if she has a pay cut? And D.D. said, well, that's not for you to decide. And so I tell Miss D.D. every time I see her, I thank her for getting me back to Kentucky. So I got to Governor's Office Ag Policy, now Kentucky Office, and did project manager work probably, I think, with every one of your counties while I was there.
Yep.
Whether it was livestock pens, whether it was got all kinds of things. I'm trying to think of all the different ones we did. That was all with tobacco settlement money. And so I did that for 3 years. And then the big joke is around here, Farm Bureau doesn't hire you out of college, but they'll give you a call later once you've, you know, learned something out in the field. Yeah. And I kind of thought that was their easy way of letting you down easy, you know. And then they called. And so I said, well, I'll be. This is real. So Drew called, and I was able to interview for that livestock role. And we really made kind of helped develop the livestock role. I'm so blessed here to have the leadership we have. They let me, I mean, I hit this state end to end and was asking county extension agents, county farm bureau agents, county presidents, what do you need? What are you not getting? We don't want to duplicate. We want to kind of cooperate and do things together. And so for about 2.5 years, I got to put that role together, and it was awesome. And then just as things happen, a lot of retirements. For any of you that know how the pension system works, those interest rates hit the right way, people are going to jump for good reason. So we had quite a few hit at once. And with that, I was kind of blessed to be able to step into this director role. So now I get the awesome opportunity to promote my guys and gals. I've got a team of four, myself being the fifth, and I can't say enough about my people. Y'all have gotten to talk to them today, and your listeners will get to hear from them throughout the next few weeks. But they are absolutely fantastic. And we were patient. I probably did more traveling and more stressing than I needed to, but I was picky, and I wanted good people. People don't leave Farm Bureau. When you get people, they stay. And so I said, well, if I'm going to find people, they're going to be the right kind. And so we've been blessed. We've got a full team. And now it's just a matter of, with all this excitement and energy, how do we do the output we want to do and get it out to the members? So I don't know if that was the long or short version, but that's how we're here. So
that's the bean version.
How many minutes do we make it before he called me Bean?
Longer than I thought it would.
Yeah, David's daughter was in my wedding. We're pretty close. Yeah. She's like a second dad. So I'm impressed my childhood nickname didn't come in for that long.
Well, he's been saying it when you would walk by. So, I mean, we at first I was like, what? I didn't know who that was, but I picked up on it pretty quick.
We have spent a tremendous amount of time together. Ellie and Renee grew up showing pigs together, mm-hmm. and so when our families did, showing pigs, and so we have spent a tremendous amount of time together, and then also at the North American Swine Show, we've spent a lot of time together there, so she is kind of like a second daughter to me, mm-hmm. You know, and she, I think she has grown into this position and done a fantastic job. I used to tease her all the time, and I couldn't stand to be around her and Ellie at the same time, you know, but because they get on your nerves pretty quick, but carrying on. But, you know, they both do a fantastic job, and Renee is doing a good job here and bringing this division along. And, you know, I'm just excited for her, and you know, the information that this bunch is going to put out, I think, is going to be second to none. And using that in cooperation with the extension information, mm-hmm. I think will be an invaluable resource to our farmers here in Kentucky for sure.
Me too. And I'm excited for our listeners to be able to, over the next couple of months, be able to get to know the folks that your team, you know, the folks that you just talked about and the commodity specialist. And you can tell that they each work together. They have their own area, but they also know what the other ones are doing too, and that's always a good sign because it is a team. It's not a one man show or a two man show. It's a team, and so I'm excited for you listeners to be able to learn them and get to know them, mm-hmm. and take advantage of some of the opportunities that's coming forth. And you know, you talked about growing up on the research farm you know, that was that's a great experience for all of you all, you and all your siblings. but to grow up on the research farm and to know how to collaborate, to know how, you know, to get information out, the importance of research, the importance of that grassroots. Like you said, you traveled state to state or into the state, one end to the other. You know, and to listen to the producers, what do you need? You know, and that speaks very highly of your perspective on agriculture, and I commend you on that.
Well, thank you. I think it was a crazy awakening going down into the Mid-South, not because, I mean, Mississippi Delta is a different world culturally, crops, soil types, water. I mean, you name it. They were asking me, well, can you explain tiling? I mean, they wouldn't tell me their corn yields. I mean, because they were like, oh, we're embarrassed. You got Kentucky corn yields, West Kentucky at that. I mean, so I think I came out of college with such a wake-up call that the world is a bigger place. And I had only drove 4.5 hours, and I was in a whole other place. And Kentucky's so big, I think we think, you know, 5 hours, you're still in the same state. But it's a whole other world. And if you don't get out and talk to people and learn and come with an open mind, and I think that was probably the best thing for me was just getting out and understanding there was a lot I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And the quieter you are, ironically, I am known to be a little loud, but the quieter you are in those settings, the more you take in, and then the questions you do have are so much more impactful. And so I did a lot of that first year. They laughed. I'd talk a lot here, but when I was on the road, I did a whole lot more listening. Yeah. And you guys know, as extension agents, and I think I learned that from people like you guys in the research center. It's so different from Lexington, and not in a bad way. They're just totally different vibes. But that Princeton Research Center, so collaborative, because a farmer could walk in any day. It's more like one of y'all's offices. It really is. And so if you kind of have that teamwork and that listening and humbling about yourself, I think you can do a lot better for others, is my thought.
Oh, absolutely.
Renee, talk with us and kind of introduce your team to us, all of them, if you would. You know, we've all talked about we've talked about them. We hadn't really said their name, but if you would, just introduce your team for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. So I always start out with my veteran, Fran McCall. it's crazy. We had a couple of retirements, and so she's been here about 11 years, and so she's our veteran now. She does all of our certified farm market program work and everything to do with horticulture, direct sales. I think a lot of people think all she does is talk to our markets, but you could not know more about permitting and, golly, meat processing. She, if there is something one of her markets has dealt with, she's got to know it. Gap audits. I mean, very, very knowledgeable. So Fran's fantastic. Next one I'll go to is Donovan Pig. He's covering our livestock marketing specialist. He backfilled where I was, and a very suiting name to be with the livestock group. But he does great. He has a cool background being working at KDA doing market reporting, but also doing USDA grading at the slaughter facility. So that was just incredible. And he is could not be more opposite than me following in that role. I'm a lot more outspoken, and he is so good one-on-one. The producers really like him, so we're really blessed. Taylor Thompson's probably the newest name to the group. He's actually from Tennessee originally. Another research farm baby. We laughed when I met him. His dad also, he grew up on a research farm. And he's going to be doing our commodity marketing. So he's mainly row crops, grains, tobacco, but has an immense amount of marketing experience and economics experience. So we're going to use him across all aspects, all commodities. But he'll be mostly on grain crops when it comes to going to those meetings. And then the last one, who you guys won't actually meet on the podcast, but I always give her shout-outs, Margaret Gambert. She's a Brown, Margaret Brown Gambert, for those close to Princeton. She does our administrative assistant work, and I tell you what, the only way we get across this state is because she's in this office. So your grain bids, if you ever get our grain bids every day, those come from her email. So I always toss our name in there, too, because she likes to be behind the scenes, and that's, she's great there, but she needs a shout-out every now and then, too. So
Absolutely.
Renee, talk to us a little bit about how folks can access your information that y'all are I know with the other specialists that we've talked to today said that y'all are working on the page and kind of updating some things, but tell folks where they can find the page and how they can get that information.
Yeah, so you're going to go to the KYFB.com, and we are trying to make this route easier. With the amount of output we want to do, we want to name that page Commodity and Marketing. So markets and commodity groups. So it's very easy to find. We're going to have a lot of awesome resources when it comes to, I mean, we're talking live prices on what these commodities are, kind of nationwide, but also specific to different elevators, different markets, things like that. So those are going to mostly be housed on the website. And then we're also going to, as we get that set up, we're going to put it on the app as well. So the KYFB app. That you can have on your phone. And until we get both of those updated, the best thing you can do right now is shoot us a message. We're going to have a Jot form set up, and we're going to try to get this info to you via email as fast as we can. I'll try to get you that information to be able to put in your notes on the podcast.
That'd be great.
You put your name and your email, and then I think we'll have four choices of different listservs. So are you wanting feeder cattle reports? Do you want corn grain bids? We're going to actually put legislative reports that Kyle and his group put together on there. We figure if you're signing up, we'll give you a chance to do that as well. So that'll be how we do it until we get the tech really well and that page looking good on the website. But then after that, we want to be, I mean, Taylor is very passionate about wanting to be the one-stop shop for all things info on that website and on the app. And that's what we're using. We're using our cell phones anymore. So
we kind of picked up on that in our discussions with him, that's way that it was going to work. So you know, when we talked about, you know, using that information, using the information from Extension, you know, getting that information out there to those folks and so they can make a decision that affects their bottom line in a positive way, I think is, you know, that's what we're all here about, for sure.
Yeah, it's I take that to heart so much because Kenny Burdine, we love Kenny. I sat with him as soon as I got that livestock role a few years back, and I said, what do I need to do? What's missing? What can you not do with UK that maybe I could? And we just sat there and talked for about an hour. At the very end of it, he said, whatever you do, make sure you're adding value, or else you're wasting their time listening, you're wasting your time working on it. You got to find a way to add value. I take that with me every day. So I think you're exactly right. It's cool to have the info, but if we're not adding value, what do we have it for, you know?
Well, I think we all, you know, you're in the same boat that we are, is that we want to positively impact the people that we are working with, working for, the areas that we're serving. I mean, that's, we're trying to make a difference in their life some way, in their farming operation. And if we're, if we always keep that in mind when we're looking at what we want to do, or the things that maybe we need to be working on, some programs we may want to offer, or whatever it is, we've got to keep that in mind, is the goal being it, you know, what is the goal basically? And it's going to be somewhere down the line, early in there, it's going to be to make a difference, you know, to help those producers in one way or another. And I think as long as we keep that at the forefront, you know, I think we're doing what we need to be doing.
Yeah. Renee, tell us some of the goals that you have. You know, obviously you being the director of this division, tell us some of the goals that you have that you want to see happen within the near future with KFB.
Yeah, so my first goal, and I was really honing in on this while we were hiring, I want my team present, but I want quality over quantity. So just because there's a meeting doesn't mean I want a quality presence. I want them to be relatable, and then I want them mostly to be approachable. I think sometimes when you're logoed up and you're wearing your khakis and you're fancied up at a meeting at your booth, sometimes you're not approachable. And I want my guys, I want people comfortable, so when things do arise, we're one of the first to know so we can help get the word out and get educated and know the right people. So that's first and foremost. I want my guys relatable and approachable. The second biggest thing, and we've talked about it a lot, I want useful information and a good output system for it. I think we've got this incredible over 400,000 members. How do I get to the right members? There's so much paperwork they fill out at those insurance offices, and we have a great membership team. So we want to make sure if you check that you're a beef producer, you're able to get beef information from us and not every single member in that county. Some who don't even farm are getting it. So we want to make sure we're getting it the right way, and we're working great with our membership group to do that. And the other thing I always tell people, we talk collaboration all the time, and I don't want to belittle that at all. But the biggest thing I found was very helpful in my previous role in the livestock part was being, if I do not know, I want to know somebody that knows me enough that they will answer the phone. So if you're wanting to put in a barn, a poultry barn, and you've got to get your building permit and you've got a holdup, I know Ronnie at state government, and Ronnie knows if I call him, he answers the phone. He's got my number saved. And that's my goal with as many entities, state organizations, commodity groups, whoever it may be. I want them to know my people, whether it's me or somebody on my team. So I may not know the answer for your question, but I know somebody that's going to answer the phone. And I think that's incredibly important. And I want my team to get to that comfort level in each of their kind of sectors as well.
Well, I think your team could be an asset to Extension as well, you know, because we work in the same circles, but we're different, you know. And so hopefully we'll be able to access some of your information as well and contact you all. If we have a question that maybe we can't get a hold of a specialist or something of that nature, we'll be able to get a hold of y'all, and then maybe y'all have had some experience with it, because y'all touch so many more people than just what we do in Extension from a standpoint of I've got my little county group that I deal with. But y'all are dealing with the whole state, you know, and so hopefully y'all have had some questions and will be able to help us as well. And we'll all be able to collaborate together to be able to help people in all of Kentucky, not just, you know, in our little bitty county.
Take a minute and just discuss and talk about member benefits. We have used that term. You listeners will hear that over the next few weeks and months. But, you know, I've heard you say, speaking in public recently, that, you know, your team is a member benefit. But talk about that and the importance of the member benefits, both to you all, but then also to the members of the Farm Bureau.
Yeah, you don't have to list them all, just part of it.
That's
yeah.
good, because I don't have them memorized. That goes right back to how David started the podcast, explaining federation versus insurance. That is the easiest way to explain to people how they're different. The federation existed, and the number one first member benefit that those farmers needed back then was reliable insurance. Yep. So yes, our insurance company is incredible, and many of us are, you know, have insurance through them, but it is truly a member benefit. What I always tell people is everyone wants to talk about the rental cars, the hotel chains, and those are fantastic, and I hope you look into those benefits because they're great, and we forget about them sometimes. But my team, this federation staff, is a member benefit. So you pay a membership, and you've got access to us. Our numbers, our emails are right there for you to start calling and reaching out to. And I think that's something that's been underutilized, mostly because I just don't think we said it enough. I think when we think about it, oh, we've got a lobbying team and they work on your behalf. Oh, we've got leadership that speaks on your behalf. Well, now you can call us and we're happy to come to you. We're happy to continue to find information to send to you to help you talk to your people. I'm a big believer in the right person with the right crowd. So if it's me, happy to come. If it's not me, but you need my information and a conversation to where you can be the right person in that crowd, happy to do that too. And I think that resource is a huge benefit that I think people forget that we're one of those. You pay that little bitty fee and you get access to all these people who are continuously learning to be experts in their role.
Oh, I mean, I agree. And I think that's, you explained it very well, because mm-hmm. there are so many folks that do not, that may not know about your team and what, you know, what you all do, and that they can contact you all, or if, and if they're having an issue, just letting you all know that you're having the issue. And so that you can let others know, or start working on, you know, what's the deal. We've gotten some calls or this or that, but you know, just being able to have that resource to speak on your behalf too. You know, at certain times, that's, you know, you can be the voice for them.
For sure. It's such a good example that we meet with the Energy Environment Cabinet and their heads of all their departments once a quarter. It is so nice when we go in there. If they have an issue, we've had a manure, that sludge that's gone into a creek or something. If we know that already, we are so much more prepared to have a conversation in the farmer's defense on behalf of the farmer. It just makes those conversations so easy, knowing on the front end, and we can make some phone calls and get some things set up to where it's a smoother situation. We can avoid your neighbor having the same problem. You guys get it. It happens in your mm-hmm. counties too. If you can get the heads up, you just feel like you're three steps ahead. Mm-hmm. And but yeah. If they don't know who you are, they don't know to call us. So totally agree with you.
No, I agree. I can't say enough about what Kentucky Farm Bureau does, and working with the University of Kentucky, working with the commodity groups, and when you can put all of us together, and I mean it's a really big benefit for a whole lot of people.
Well, I think, you know, when we talk about that and all of us working together, I think you don't find a lot of states that are like that. I think Kentucky is pretty doggone unique from that standpoint, where you've got all of Extension and KFB and mm-hmm. KDA and all of those folks are working to pull in the same direction, our commodity groups. I think that's very unique, I think, to Kentucky. I don't really think that there are other states that are like that from what I can tell. Mm-hmm. Renee, talk to us a little bit about, I know you're kind of the main contact for the commodities groups, and what, from a public affairs and the lobbying that Farm Bureau does, what does that all entail?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a lot of us, we just know that they're lobbying on our behalf. They're the voice of agriculture. And I have made it a point in the last few years, mostly because I felt like I knew Farm Bureau until I got here. And I said, well, I'm going to start explaining the policy process every meeting I go to. We are policy developing every single day of the year. What we do is we take policy throughout the entire year. We've got three district meetings. So there's districts across the state, and they'll meet and they'll put in policy as well. But we are constantly learning. We're constantly hearing issues. We take the top issues, send pubs out so you can learn more as members. All that encompasses to where we have this giant list of almost, hundreds of resolutions, we call them. So ideas to put in that policy book to make things better. What do we need as farmers and or rural Kentucky? And so a resolutions committee, so those are elected in each district by their other members. And it's crazy. I tell my staff all the time, my team, it's the hardest step in being staff is all of a sudden remembering you are not a member. I'll have a person call me the day before resolutions and say, well, can you just submit it? We're talking about it. And I say, no, I am staff. This is the most literal grassroots that you will ever hear. So staff plays no part but facilitating, getting meetings set up. That resolutions committee goes through that book, decides yes or no, if it's already covered, if they want it in, that kind of thing. Annual meeting comes around. If you don't like what they did, you can bring it back up all over again. And we have people do that every year. They talk it out on the delegate floor, vote it in or out, good, bad, or otherwise, if we're being honest. It's what the members want, and it goes through. We also do resolutions to that American Farm Bureau book. And I actually got to sit through that whole resolutions process for the first time this year in D.C., and that was incredible watching all the state presidents. I mean, you're talking thousands of resolutions going through committees. So me as staff, I got to speak on behalf of what our membership voted through. When they say why, I got to be in the room ready. Kentucky stands up and says why. So that those went through, and then we go to the AFBF annual meeting at the end of January, and those will get voted through a final time. And your state directors, who are also elected in each of those districts, they're the ones that sit up there and vote. So I tell people this to say, it is such a constant cycle, and it is member-driven. And there's so many organizations that say that, but until you really dive into it, you don't understand how, I mean, I'm telling you, as staff, as leadership in this organization, we don't get to dictate what happens.
Yep.
The members truly dictate. And I'll be honest with you, every year there's about one resolution or two that I'm like, ugh, would have rather that been a little tweaked. We could have worked on wording. But that's just how it is. It's the members want it through. And then we as staff take that the next year, and that's what we work off of. Yeah. So I think it's pretty incredible myself.
Yeah. You know, if it didn't come from the county level, then it doesn't come. You know, just like Renee talked, you know, you got – just because she talked to somebody and they say, well, you slip that in there if you don't care. She can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It has to come from the county
that's
level.
Right.
And I think that's where the grassroots thing comes in. You know, it's so important for those folks, those people that have their hand in agriculture on a local level to talk about the issues that are affecting them. Now, the issue that's happening in McLean County may not have anything to do with what's happening in Hopkins County or whatever. But on the same hand, they can still do that. They can still send that up there. And then the resolutions committee, they are the ones that go through that and say, yeah or nay, or yeah, we're going to put that in, or no, we're not.
Right.
You know, it's not anything any different than any other thing. So
that whole process that you went through was really eye-opening to me when I went through the LEAD program. Because that was the first time that I had really heard that process from beginning to end. And it's pretty mind-boggling to think about it, really, because like you said, so many times grassroots is a buzzword, but that's as far as it goes.
Yeah.
But with Kentucky Farm Bureau, it's grassroots, and there's a process.
I got so tickled in the LEAD program. We actually had a meeting during the resolutions committee was meeting, and we were there the very first day. And I got so tickled at Eddie because he said, you know, everybody behaved that day. Y'all were in there.
They always do.
He said it gets pretty raucous after that, but he said they kind of behave when y'all were in there for a little bit.
I tell you what, it is the most interesting thing, though. Like you say, there's an issue in McLean County that might not affect another area. It is so interesting to me. I mean, we have just great people. We have great members, and I say that all the time. I'm so blessed to work with farmers in rural Kentucky. They're just great people. But it is so interesting. You will have somebody from the opposite corner of the state that we're ready to move on, and they go, no, I don't understand totally. Vicky, tell me some more. I want to know. I don't have poultry houses, but I want to know what's going on. And it is so cool to see people so invested in something that does not affect their livelihood or their county whatsoever. But they do care, and they do hone in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they are pretty nice on the day that the LEAD class is in there. But they have good discussions, and sometimes they'll look at staff and say, we need info, have it for us after lunch, and we'll go do some research, and we'll bring it back, and they talk it through again. It's a crazy couple days. I always come into North American to the hog show right after resolutions, and it's funny when working a hog show is your relief, but my brain gets to shut back for a minute, and I get to just be in a hog ring. It's a little easier than resolutions.
There is such a thing as, is it information overload?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'd say that would be a day of it.
I would think so.
To be honest with you.
I would think so.
Yeah, I always ask Renee if she can come the first day, and she said, no, I got to go to the resolutions committee. I keep giving her out, you know. She just won't take it.
Yeah.
I don't know. She just won't take it. But no, that's really interesting, and the way that that's done, I mean, that's fantastic. And, you know, what Kentucky Farm Bureau does for our state is – to me is second to none, and especially for agriculture and the advocating they do on our behalf and the things that they do for us in Frankfort, for Washington, you know, you can't put a price on it. And that's why I encourage folks, regardless of whether you have a Farm Bureau insurance or not, to be a member of Farm Bureau, because they do so much. And, you know, like our commodity groups, you know, if you raise a certain commodity, a lot of times you'll be involved in their KFB is agriculture. It's not just a commodity group. And they're advocating for all of agriculture. And so, you know, again, I will, you know, put my plug in, be a member of Farm Bureau. They advocate for all of agriculture, and we appreciate that. We appreciate all that y'all do.
And one of the other things I know that I think it falls under your umbrella is environmental issues. So if an environmental issue comes up, and we know anytime there's agriculture, there's going to be environmental things that come up. So that is another area that you work in. Is that,
Yes, absolutely. So the joke is, when I was at working with Ag Development Board, I did the water program there, and we laughed and said, man, I just told you on the interview water and you stuck environmental in my name. So when I was in Donovan's role, it was livestock and environmental, and I got to keep that when I went to director. But it's neat in the sense that I don't consider myself you know, the most in tune with all things environmental when I first got here. But I tell you what, I did not realize how much I knew just growing up around row crop farming, growing up around starting to have confined cattle in this state, being in the Delta for those couple years, learning how different things were there. You really know more than you think you know. Mm-hmm. And so I tell people all the time, I may not always sound like I'm the company line all the time, and I don't need to be the one talking to the legislators. Kyle and Erica do a fantastic job of that. But if we're going to talk to farmers and explain what's going on at state government or vice versa, I can have a little tougher and a blunter tone about, listen, y'all are saying a buzzword, but do you know what it means? Mm-hmm. Because this is what our farmers do, and this is what we think it means. Yeah. And so it's been it's something I never thought I would be good at, but I have found a way to, in the right room, that blunt tone sometimes is what people need to hear when they're getting a lot of buzzwords and conservation this and stewardship that. And sometimes I just got to look at them and say, what's our definition here? Because my farmers say this. Or what county is your farmer in? Because I'm talking to 203 counties, you know. So it's been an interesting turn on things. I like it. It's frustrating sometimes because I do think a buzzword is something people say to sometimes get votes or sometimes get grant funding in certain little places. But our farmers have been conservationists. Name your word, conservationists, stewards of the land, since the beginning of time. So once you get that mentality in your head, it feels better. On those frustrating days, it's easier to fight the good fight when you remember that your guys are the ones that have been doing it since day one. So,
Well, and there is a way to be blunt and still be respectful. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes it's better to just,
got that and figured out yet.
I didn't say nothing.
Some people need a little more work at that than others, but sometimes the best way to do it is just, I had a farmer one time tell me, say what you mean and mean what you say, because then there's no question on what you're saying and what you mean, you know. So, and there's something to be said about that is to be, say what you mean.
Don't look at me.
You don't have to be disrespectful.
We don't ever have to worry what David thinks. We know. We heard you.
Yeah, it's that.
Don't look at me.
No, but I agree completely. I think there are times to fluff it up. For the right room, the right crowd, but there are times to get down to business and get a little straight. And I think if you're known for doing that in a respectful way, I think it's heard a lot better.
Yes.
So I agree completely with you.
There's a difference in being argumentative and being blunt.
Yep.
In my opinion.
No, that's true. You can be direct without being rude every day.
Yeah. Yep. That's just my opinion, David.
Awkward pause.
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
Well, I do. I don't know if my guys did this, but I am going to put a plug in for a couple of our things. I tell people all the time, county farm bureaus are awesome. The activities you do there, I think that's where every single person needs to start, is working in their county. For sure. I think it's fantastic. But I think sometimes we get so caught in our counties. People are having kids. They're going to ball games. Do a favor to yourself and try to pick that weekend to go to the Young Farmer outing, or go to your district event, get in the lead class, find the time to do it. Another one that a lot of people don't know about, we've done it a new way now, and I really think they're really impressive. Vicky's been on one with us, is the Certified Farm Market Tour and our Beef Tour. Those are ones that used to be first come, first serve. We realized that a lot of people that were heavy farming did not have time to be on that computer right at the strike of 8 o'clock to put them in. So now we do a selection process where we're drawing names where we can do varying ages, varying parts of the state, varying types of producers. And we're sending 50 people to another state every single year for each of those tours. So two different tour options. And, they're seeing a whole nother type of agriculture, and you're meeting people that are your age. You're meeting people that are older than you, younger than you. You're just getting so much perspective on the bus, much less on the stops. So I know the counties are so important, and I love the county activities, but I think sometimes we get so into the county activities that we don't take time to go to these bigger ones. And I think that's where a lot of learnings can be done. And I mean, y'all both brought up LEAD multiple times. I think it's been impactful years later at this point. So
It was a great program. And I agree with you, Renee. I mean, I think you need, you know, if you have an opportunity to and want to do that,
it's a great opportunity. I was going to say Kentucky Farm Bureau provides so many great opportunities for learning experiences like that for younger people. The Young Farmers Deal is a great program. Mm-hmm. For folks that are a little younger than me but a little too old for the Young Farmers, they got the Generation Bridge Deal. Mm-hmm. You know, and I guess for us old folks, we just got Farm Bureau, I guess.
But you've already done the others.
I moved on to that age group. So anyway, and I keep telling one guy in our county to move on. He's older than 50, and he still wants to be in that group. And I said, "You too old, son." So, but no, that Kentucky Farm Bureau provides so many great opportunities for younger people. And for those people that are going throughout their career to, you know, they provide leadership opportunities for them to learn about being a leader in their county and on the state level. You know, just for all of those opportunities, you know, we thank you for that for sure.
Well, and another opportunity that I would encourage folks to look into is the congressional tour. I know that falls outside of your group, but it's still Kentucky Farm Bureau. If you haven't had the opportunity to be a part of that congressional tour in Washington, D.C., I would encourage you to put that on your bucket list and try to do that sometime, because I think that's a great trip. It opens your eyes to Washington, D.C. and how things are done.
It's an opportunity for you to meet your legislator.
Absolutely.
You know, what other organization provides you that opportunity to actually meet with them on a one-on-one basis and talk with your local legislator? Yep. Not very many.
That's right. So,
yeah.
Good stuff.
Sounds good. Well, you know, Renee, one of the things we always do when we get ready to end this show is we like to wrap things up with a timely tip. This was picked well in advance of us sitting down here, but you actually nailed it right on the head. We thought a good timely tip for today would be to remind our listeners to reach out to their local Farm Bureau boards to learn more about how they can become a member and learn about those member services that are available to everyone. So you said it just a minute ago, and I thought, she's fixing to hear this again.
Didn't even give us the timely tip.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly appreciate you being here with us today. Again, I want to thank you for setting all of this up, all of the different people that we were able to record with today and tomorrow as well, that our folks will be able to listen to over the next several weeks. So thanks to Renee for this week's information, and thanks to our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show, and we'll make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.